It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Here, our local economy is booming with new employees in high-paying computer programming and engineering jobs, and many of those workers were not born in the United States. They came here on H-1B visas. It's a program that lets companies temporarily hire foreign workers, mostly in the tech industry. It's been around for years. Last week, President Trump signed an executive order that could mean big changes for the H-1B program. The White House says it will award visas to the most skilled or highest paid workers. Right now, visas are awarded through a lottery system. Seattle-based immigration lawyer Tamina Watson and aerospace labor union representative Stan Sorcher have different concerns about the program, but they'd both like to see that lottery system go. Here's why Stan Sorcher feels that way.
We've advocated for that for a long time. The issue that we have with the H-1B visa program is that it gives a lot of power to the employees, market power, bargaining power, leverage over the employees. And both the foreign and the U.S. worker wind up with less bargaining power in the labor market. So one way to give workers more leverage is to have an auction of the H-1B visas where there's a limited number of visas and a lot of employers wanting them. So you give the first visa to the employer who offers the highest salary, and continue until the limited number of visas are taken up.
Tamina, what's your take on scrapping the lottery system? And yes, it's unsure still what's going to happen.
Everybody would be happy not to have a lottery so that there is there is certainty in what your application is going to get. It's a very costly process for an employer to file an application and then not get selected. It also affects their businesses because they cannot plan. And the employee who is trying to get an H-1B because their status depends on it, they cannot make any decisions about what to do in the future. So the lottery does have to go, but how it's going to play out is going to be interesting to see.
Tamina, you've said this executive order could, we don't know, but it could have the opposite effect intended, meaning it's not going to get companies to hire American. What do you mean by that?
If the administrative changes bring a lot of restrictions, what employers will likely do is go to countries and locations where it's easier to hire employees to run their businesses. Ultimately,
go to those countries so you don't have to bring them into the United States?
Well, I think there are countries that welcome immigrants and high-skilled workers, and you only need to look at Canada. Everything that we do, they look at that and do the opposite.
Stan, what do you say about that? Companies, American companies can just go abroad,
sure,
go to Canada.
Go to Canada. There are so many political conversations in the United States that start with, well, in Canada. Uh-huh. And in fact, the Canadians don't really have a program like the H-1B. When they welcome immigrants, they're welcoming immigrants. Again, one of the things we're concerned about with the Trump executive order is that we certainly don't want this to turn into an anti-immigrant thing. And the Canadian public policy is to welcome immigrants. One of the problems with globalization is the feel that it's a race to the bottom. If the Canadians can lead us to a race to higher standards, I think that would be a positive for us. There are so many petitions for H-1B visas already. There will be plenty of employers in the United States looking for H-1B visas, with or without whatever happens in Canada.
So, but the concern that this executive order is trying to address is really looking at the tech industry specifically. You know, when they are looking at the types of visas and the people who are getting these H-1Bs, the administration is focusing not on the visas that are given out by universities or the nonprofit. They're really saying, hey, you know, these tech companies are taking all the jobs. But the reality is, just like Stan said, H-1B visas are used in the education industry, they're used in the health industry, mm-hmm. they are used in a multiple type of industries, in fact, all the industries, actually. But it's singling out the technology industry, and right. that is the wrong approach to take.
Well, but behind all of this is tech companies saying there are not enough American workers to fill these jobs. Stan, what do you say to that?
The original public policy purpose for the H-1B program was just that there seemed to be a labor shortage. So that was, let's say, 1990 was when the program in its more or less current form began. To have a labor shortage that lasts for 25 years means that you've either misunderstood something or you have some terrible, terrible design. when we talk in public about this, I get two reactions. One is the employers say, I can't find anybody. And then if there are any parents in the room, they say, my kid graduated with a 4.0 from a great university. He's been living in my basement for 14 months. So somewhere in between, I think, is the truth. There was a spirit among employers when I was young, many years ago, that you would hire somebody who was able to do the job. Somebody, that's what qualified meant. And then there was a period of on-the-job training. In some jobs, it was a month. In some jobs, it was years. And that was part of the employment relationship. As the employment relationship has frayed significantly, now we're looking for somebody who can hit the ground running. Well, I think that's you should pay a premium for somebody who can hit the ground running. And if you're looking for somebody at an entry-level wage who can hit the ground running, you're going to have trouble finding them.
Tamina, what do you think of that claim? There aren't enough American workers for these tech jobs.
Well, what was right about what Stan said is this law was created in 1990. And the world has changed several times over. So at the technology industry, for example, the technology revolution, if you like, has changed the way businesses operate, the work that needs to happen. You can now operate a business in Timbuktu from a garage. You know, the modern technology has made the world smaller, and the way businesses operate are very different to how it used to be in 1990. So all immigration advocates, people who are using the immigration process to help their businesses, agree that the system needs to be modernized. But the question is there a lack of workers? And the answer is actually yes, because you have to look at the type of worker you're trying to fill these positions with. And when you ask an employer, is there a shortage of workers, they will say yes, because I'm looking for a specific STEM graduate to take these jobs.
STEM meaning science, technology, engineering, math.
That's correct, yes. And there is a lack of STEM graduates that are coming from US in general.
I was at a conference and I was listening to a panel of entrepreneurs, and they said how they couldn't find qualified U.S. workers. And in the question period, I asked one of them, well, this is several years ago when there really was high unemployment. I said, would you look at an application from somebody who'd been out of work for 6 months? He said, well, you know, that's not good. And I said, what about somebody who's over 45 years old? Well, we're looking for younger people. And one of the entrepreneurs was a physicist. And I said, would you have hired yourself if you had looked at your own resume? And he said, well, probably not.
And you think tech companies are being too picky?
They're being too picky. They can be picky. And why wouldn't you be picky if you can?
Tamina, do you accept, for better or for worse, do you believe that the H-1B visa program, as it's been running so far, reduces wages and or takes jobs from American citizens?
I do not. I think it has the opposite effect, actually. H-1Bs have a multiplier effect. For every one H-1B, five new positions are actually created. That person who was on an H-1B will need a doctor, an accountant, and sort of non-STEM sort of positions. In terms of wages, it has actually, there is research and reports to show that H-1B actually has the effect of increasing U.S. wages.
Stan, what's your ideal vision of how sometimes American companies want to bring in people from overseas?
Sure.
How do you think it should happen?
I would give the control over the visa to the worker so that the H-1B worker can operate in the labor market just like I do. I would expect employers to sponsor their temporary workers for permanent status. Also, I would do what Canada does and say, we're going to measure the labor market to see where there are legitimate shortages so we can do a good job of managing the public policies for legitimate concerns of employers. And that's what we should be doing for our families and the foreign workers and the U.S. workers.
Tamina, what's your vision?
I would look for comprehensive immigration reform. For H-1Bs, I would look to move students out of the H-1B program and give them a green card as they graduate, whether it's from a master's program or a PhD program. I would take the startup founders out of the H-1B program and thereby making space in the numbers that we have for people who have the skilled skills that we need for businesses. But at the same time, make sure that our immigration system is modernized for a modern world that we live in.
Seattle immigration lawyer Tamina Watson, founder of Watson Immigration Law. And Stan Sorcher is a labor representative with the aerospace union SPEA. Again, President Trump has told federal agency leaders to suggest reforms that would ensure H-1B visas go to the most skilled or highest paid applicants instead of the lottery system that our local tech businesses are used to dealing with.